side one of an interview with Mildred Cochran Mixon. You were talking just before we flipped the tape about the ladies and their fittings, and you're enjoying that. Did you pick up sewing skills from your mother?
Yes, and my sister did too.
We'll talk a little bit more in a few minutes, if you will, about the school, but I gather if we've been able to check at school about 1920, 25, that most of the girls at school would have been wearing dresses made at home, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
What about the boys' clothes? Were they store-bought?
Well, I imagine so. But I know my mama made most of mine and my sister's.
And your other school friends were wearing homemade clothes as well?
Well, some of them were.
I guess I'm not nearly as attuned over a period of time to ladies' fashions as I would like to be, but my impression is that going way back maybe to your childhood, that most particularly of the married and older ladies in town were wearing nearly floor-length dresses,
mm-hmm.
and kept that style
unchanging
for 20 or 30
mm-hmm.
years.
That's
is that right.
Right? That's exactly right. I don't ever remember seeing my mama in anything but, well, she didn't wear them real long, but anything but a long dress, and most of the time, long sleeves.
My impression is, and I've seen some photographs of my grandmother and other people, that maybe about 1940 that the older women were wearing nearly ankle-length dresses.
That's right.
And maybe a little bit later, I think Mrs. Crawford, Mamie Crawford you mentioned, would have gotten maybe a few inches above the ankle.
But I can remember Aunt Louie. I can remember her coming up to the house. I just almost see her right now because she's always kind of chubby. And she'd come up there with her flashlight, you know, of a night, walking mm-hmm. up to my mama's because they was real good friends. And she'd walk up there of a night. And that was when my brother was still living. And that's been, I don't think she would run. She didn't run the boarding house up till she died. I mean, it kind of, she kind of got out of that. I know that, but that was back when I think Seal and Charlie were still living there when Aunt Lou would come up to the house.
So at any rate, it seems like, as we were suggesting, that the styles didn't change very much over a period of time.
No, they
ladies
didn't.
Ladies would have held on to their clothes.
That's right.
What was the fabric? Cotton?
Cotton.
Silk?
Cotton, mostly little prints, kind of, and most of them were just kind of dark colors.
My impression also, just from the photographs of my grandmother's clothes, is that they were a very heavy cotton.
Yeah.
Not the lighter kind you might get today.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. They were.
Were these subdued or bright prints?
Well, they weren't bright, as well as I can remember. I don't remember too many of them being very bright.
Rather much like you were talking about Mrs. Myra Payne Boggs and your reaction to her, I recall one of the other older ladies in town, Miss Lula, seeming so old when I was a child, and again with the very long dresses.
Yeah.
And I guess that's one of my strong memories of Calhoun.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, being right here as a girl watching the fittings, you must have known a good deal about ladies' lingerie.
What kind
of lingerie did they wear under their long dresses?
A lot of them wore homemade slips.
Mm-hmm.
I know that.
Silk or?
Cotton.
Cotton.
Cotton, I remember that. Sometime with lace sewed on it.
Bras?
As well as I remember, they wore camisoles.
Mm-hmm.
More of a camisole type thing than a bra, and some of them didn't even wear that.
Anything under there?
Just mostly, it seemed like all the dresses were mostly just loose,
mm-hmm.
fitting, you know, just hang loose, and sometimes a belt drawn around it.
But did they wear any garments under their slips?
I don't know. Some of them might not have.
Well, I'm told they didn't, so you don't
know. Yeah, well, I didn't want to come out and say that to you. I'm glad you said it. But I do know that my mama didn't a lot of times, and Aunt Louie didn't.
So, too, we could
Because I remember, like I say, some funny things I could tell you that I wouldn't want to, on tape.
Oh, please go ahead if you're thinking what I hope you're thinking.
If you... if you're fixing to publish this, I don't want anybody to hear me say it.
Well, I'll promise not to publish it, so go ahead and tell it.
No, I can remember back, you know, Aunt Louie used to play the organ at this little church. And Edna and me, when we got together, we'd laugh and titter. And Aunt Louie used to make us sit by her right by the organ so she could make us behave. And when she'd get up, I can see that bench and that organ stew right now, and Aunt Louie get up, when she'd get up to play the organ, a lot of times fat and sweaty and hot and nothing under it much, while Aunt Edna would reach over and pull the dress out of her rear end. I've thought about that so many times.
Well, since we're on that immediate subject, let's go ahead and talk about it some more. Just one more question and we're out before the church. I gather, talking about you're enjoying the ladies here and your Aunt Louie and others, that the women in town spent a good deal of time visiting back and forth with each other.
Yeah, more so then than now, yeah.
And apparently, at least among the white women in town, your mother and your Aunt Louie were two of the very few who had some type of paid work.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm.
But not too many of the people in town, I gathered, had help. Most of them had to do their own housework and cooking and so forth.
Yeah, well, I can remember my mom always had help.
How much and what kind?
Well, it was more or less the people that worked on my daddy's farm. Uh-huh. And they would come in and they would do the washing and ironing right in the yard.
So these are women whose husbands were working for your father, and the women did the washing in the yard.
Yeah. Now my mother would do, I think, most of the cooking, but we always had somebody to come in and wash in the clothes in the yard and.
Do you remember the names of any of these people?
Oh, gosh. Fanny Butler, I believe, or Dupree, that name comes up. And of course, that Jack Brown's mother. And Shaw, Rose Shaw. Mm-hmm. That's another name that comes up.
What do you mean they were doing it out in the yard? That sounds a strange place.
Oh, well, you see, we had a well up there at my mama's house. Lord, it was a big 90-foot deep well, and you had to draw the water. I've drawn a many of a bucket out of that well, and you draw the water, had 10 tubs on a bench.
About what size were they?
Big 10 tubs. I got pictures of my children in some of them when they were still living up there taking a bath.
It looks like you're holding your arms for something like maybe 3 or 4 feet across.
Mm-hmm. And
big enough to bathe in.
We'd have three tubs, be the wash and two rinses or whatever, sitting there, and a black iron wash pot, and they would build a fire around it, fill it with water, and boil the clothes in that, and chunk them with a stick, and then rinse them and hang them out on the line. There was no, never heard of a washing machine or a dryer.
How'd you wring the clothes?
Just wrung them by hand.
Not a regular wringer with rollers?
Wrung them by hand.
Sounds like there must have been a huge number of clotheslines around town.
They was up at my house, and then a lot of times my mom, they had a garden fenced in with chicken wire, and the chicken lot fence would hang the clothes on it too when they had a lot of them. Yeah.
But, well, we've talked about the women visiting back and forth a good deal. Were there sort of social classes among the women in town, and some that would associate together but not with the others?
Well, really, I think people over on this side of the railroad tracks would more congenial and visit more than the people from the other side.
Now, the people on the other side were those primarily living near the college.
Yeah, most of them was professors' wives or people that owned businesses' wives and things like that.
Well, why do you think there was a difference between
the
two different groups?
Well, they didn't really have socialized with them as far as that. It was more, in my mother's case, more of a business with her sewing. You would have almost like you'd socialize with them, but yet they would come over there to, I have plenty of time, I'd fix tea and stuff for them while they would be having their dresses fixed, and my mama used to make a blackberry, some kind of drink and would offer it to the ladies. I can remember that. Or have she'd have a piece of cake offer them, and it was just they would all. She had a bed in the room where she sewed, and sometimes the ladies would lay down across the bed and rockers in around the stove and all like that. And it was just I can remember all that. That ladies that used to do that come and bring their patterns and their mag pictures and even and Miss Maggie Morrison, my mom used to sew for her and it was she had a regular sewing room that she didn't use for anything else, you know. She could have the stuff laying on the bed or patterns and a big long table that she cut on and a huge beautiful mirror that my sister got, had it redone, a pretty gold frame around it. And I've got my mama's machine in my front bedroom that she sewed all these years on.
What brand?
A Singer.
And foot powered?
No, it was electric. She before she got that, she had another old machine that was a pedal type. And then when we finally got electricity, you see, we didn't have electricity, for a long time. And we thought it was wonderful when we finally got electricity. Because we used to burn lamps. I used to wash the lamps and fill them up. That would be one of the things. I'd go to the store with a little can of kerosene.
Which store would you get kerosene at?
At Uncle John's, as well as I can remember.
We've got about several things we need to come back to, but let me pursue immediately the utilities. Do you remember when you first were able to get electricity?
Oh, gosh. I couldn't tell you the year.
Approximately. Were you grown?
Well, I was up pretty good. I was grown, I would think, yeah. And that's when my mama got the Singer electric sewing machine. And then I can remember when they wired the house up there. Since it was already built, all the wires were run outside and drop cords hanging down with one little bulb. And we're just glad, no outlets at all. I mean, it was just that one bulb. And I remember that. And then it was a long time before we got water.
Mm-hmm. Where had you grown before you had water and indoor plumbing?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What about paved roads?
Well, this was a dirt road up here now. And this road was, I can't remember where it was, dirt. I believe it was still a dirt road when we built this house.
And that was about when?
We built this house in 1939.
Were there any paved roads in Calhoun then?
Mm.
Or were they all done at one time?
Oh, gosh. I can't remember where there was any. I can't quite remember where was any paved roads much. All I can remember is dirt roads, seems like.
I guess the road coming from the underpass and going on towards 6 Mile must have been the first one to be paved.
I think that was probably the first one to be paved.
Okay, we took a little diversion on utilities and things, but let's go back. We were talking about the ladies. You said they would certainly come. There would be a very sociable affair going on while they were fitting, and what you call a sewing room sounds more like an entertainment room almost.
Yeah, yeah.
Just one quick question about this blackberry drink. Would that have been blackberry wine?
No, it was what they called a blackberry acid. My mama made it. What? Alcoholic.
How would you make it?
Well, I don't know. It was like I don't know how she made it, but it wasn't. It never did ferment. Now my mama made wine for her fruit cakes, but this blackberry acid was a drink that you made, and you didn't keep it very long. You know, I mean, it was just more fresh, like fresh in the season of blackberries. But it was a very good drink. I can remember that. But I can remember my mama used to make blackberry wine and canned the blackberries in great big jars.
Did your mother make blackberry jam?
Blackberry jam and jelly.
I'm wondering, I may have gotten, do you remember when your mother died?
Yeah.
What year?
Oh, let's see. 40, my youngest son, David, is 47 now, and he was 2 years old when my mama died. And he was born in 1941, 2 years after we moved down here.
So she died in 40. somebody's house and getting Blackberry Jam when I was a child,
yeah.
And I haven't yet figured out who it was.
Yeah.
Best I remember, there were two older ladies living, or were at least together there at that moment. But we were talking about the ladies, and you were particularly referring to the Clemson faculty wives coming over and being fitted. But let's get back. Obviously, they were on sociable and friendly terms.
Oh, yeah.
And yet you're saying they were almost two different groups of people.
Well, you know, like it is really now, in a way. Back then, I mean, the professors' wives, they had their little carryings on. I don't know whether they played bridge back then much like they do now, but as far as ever being partied together and things like that, I don't ever know of anybody doing that with them over on this side.
And basically, faculty people did not live over on this side of the river, no. Tracks, did mm-hmm. they?
No, back up from the old hotel, used to be where the Clemson house is now. I can remember some of the people that my mother sold for were the Shanklins. Jane Neville Shanklin was her mother, was one of them. That was one of the houses up there, right close. And the Mitchells, Miss Mitchell. And I know that's two that I remember. And the Hunters. But that was just, there was no houses. The Clemson, old Clemson house was run by, I know Freeman's at one time run it. I know Mary Freeman is one of the ones my mom used to sew for. She married, and I think she still lives in Clemson. That's Cham Freeman's sister. And he worked up as the auditor after the Clemson house was built.
But you're talking about the new Clemson
mm-hmm,
house.
Yeah.
And, of course, back in the 1920s and even into the 40s, there was almost a geographic distance because
mm-hmm.
there wasn't much of anything from the Presbyterian
church.
Right. And
mm-hmm.
it was roughly a mile, say,
mm-hmm.
from where the professors' families
yeah,
lived to Calhoun
yeah,
families.
Yeah, that's
and
right. Yeah.
Aside from any other social differences, it seemed there were sort of little neighborhood clusters
mm-hmm. yeah.
of sort.
Well, you know, back when they tore down some of those pretty houses over there, the Mills house and the Daniels home, and they were great big pretty homes, and they were torn down when they built those brick apartments over there now. I thought it was a shame that they cut all those pretty trees and tore down those great big pretty two-story homes.
Well, of the people living on this side of the railroad tracks in Calhoun, were there social distinctions among them, or did the women pretty well all associate together?
Well, the ones that I remember was the Boggses, Aunt Miss Lila, and Aunt Louie, and Cousin Mame, and the Paines, the girls, and Miss Myra, and I can't remember too many more families that back then. That
well, there were several others, depending on the period of time.
Yeah.
There were, of course, Mrs. Evans.
Yeah, yeah.
The Dillards,
yeah.
The Finleys.
Yeah.
Miss Perry.
Yeah.
Miss Sheriff. Miss Miller.
Yeah.
Were they not
well,
a part
now, Miss,
of your...
Yeah, Miss Sheriff. Now that you bringing all this back to me. I remember them. I remember, I was going back a little further. Yeah, I remember when the Sheriffs lived out there in the Hal Boggs house. Miss Sheriff and Sam Evans's the Millers. I remember, now I don't remember too much about, I don't know whether my mom ever did know them too well or not, because I know they used to live in a little house down next to the railroad, right back of Mr. Meyer Boggs' house for a while.
And I believe at different times there were also people not too far away called Grant and Taylor.
Yeah. Mr. Clint Taylor. And Grants, that when you brought up the name Grant, now that was a old family that come down from the mountains that lived in that house up there where the Kelsey's live now.
Mm-hmm.
Just an old couple with no children. And I want you to know, they really looked like mountain hoochies. That was one of the things I can remember about them. And they cooked in a fireplace.
Mm-hmm.
And he wore a beard. And they used to talk about dresses. And she always wore an apron and cooked, and I can remember that very well. And he used to walk down to the store all the time, and Bobby, and that's my oldest son, was just a little boy then when we lived up at Mama's. And when Mr. Grant died, Bobby had never seen him, only it just looked like he was dirty, the old hat just never did look like he took a bath. And when he died, of course, they then had the body at the house. And I went up there, and Bobby wanted to go up there with me, just a little boy. And I know when we looked at him, I had just to nudge him with my elbow. Bobby said, "Ooh, he's so clean looking." And but they did. They had shaved him and cleaned him up, and he didn't look like the same person.
You said he was fairly old. Did he work?
Well, I don't know what they did for a living.
And you said they came from the mountains. Do you know where?
Around Pickens, up in Pickens, up in that section.
You were saying that there were two or three people that you didn't seem to know too well. It would also seem to me that in a town with a population of only a very few hundred, that whether it was thought of or not, that there had to be some real social distinctions, you would almost willfully have to not know people, wouldn't you?
Well, back then, I can remember, there used to be a family called Turners, up above the Finleys, and of course the Miss Moena Pike, and then Johnny Pike lived there. I remember them, and that's really back. I can't remember too many or more than that. Like I say, I was, even when Miss Sam Evans lived down there, I was a pretty good sized girl when she died. But I don't think that my mama never did. It wasn't that there was anything wrong, but she just never did know them too much, And we did trade. He had a grocery store in Clemson. We used to trade there, and he used to deliver groceries and all. But Miss Evans was always kind of a sickly woman, as well as I remember. But it's just, seemed like more of my memories was connected with Aunt Louie and Ed and Uncle John and Edna, and things are happening around Mr. Norman's store and things like that.
Which were both close to you, and some of these people were also family, too.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll come back in a few minutes if we can talk some more about your Aunt Louie. But I believe you said that there were some black families that lived sort of back behind you. Are you talking about between this house and the railroad tracks, or between this house and the Lawrences?
No, there was never any black families that lived. When we built this house, the only black families that lived was back down. I think the house is torn down now. Fanny Butler, that lived down in between Mr. Charlotte's house. It lived in one of his houses, I think, over there.
So she rented from him.
And, another black fella, Jim Ransom. Mm-hmm. He used to help at my daddy's, that lived there. And I, as far as that, I can't remember any other black families that lived back behind there. And then another old house, I'm getting to thinking more, it was called Aunt Coot's house that was over there. But I don't know, that was back when I can't quite remember. But I just remember that old house sitting over there with all the weeds growing up around it. And even after my children got up big enough to go in the woods hunting around things, Lewis Henry next door and Bobby and all of them used to go over there and think it was a haunted house. Other than the colored families, that was just about the two families I remember.
And where was the Aunt Coot's house?
It was over it was close to the railroad.
So it was going in the opposite direction from the others
about. Over close to the railroad where that branch runs under the railroad up there, a culvert you would call it, I guess.
But still on this side of the railroad.
Yeah, on this side. Mm-hmm.
It also sounds to me that on this side of the railroad tracks, from what you're describing, there were a few black families who worked over here, either for Mr. Lawrence or for your father, and there wasn't a real black community as there was on the other
side of the railroad tracks. Mm-hmm.
Of course, the pattern of the railroad tracks may have changed that a little bit. Can you give me any sense about what the relationships were in town between the white and the blacks?
Well, really, there was never any problem that I can remember. I was brought up with colored people. I mean, you know, like I say, them working for my father and Jim Ransom and Rose Shaw, I was just brought up with them, and I was just never even see any difference in them.
When you were a child, did you play with some of the other black kids?
Oh, yeah. Jack Brown and his sister. I thought that was about the only people besides Edna Smith that I had to play with. I played with them all the time when they would come in the yard and all the time. And that Jack Brown, every time he sees me, he always calls me Miss Mildred and asks me about Miss Sue. And
did your parents know or object to your playing with the black children, or was it a normal part of life?
It was just a normal part of life.
Well, what did girls do to play?
Hopscotch. And ball, baseball, or batting a ball with a board, make playhouses out in the yard, build a playhouse, and that's just about all. I mean, you didn't have outside. That's what we played. But we never did. I mean, I don't ever remember them coming inside and playing much. They probably, my mom always would bring them in and give them something to eat, I know.
Do you know any more to a name than Aunt Coots?
Carrie Greer.
That was her name?
Was an old lady.
But you don't know Aunt Coots' name?
No, I don't. All I know was Aunt Coot. That's all. I don't remember her last name or anything. That's all I ever heard was Aunt Coot.
One of the things that we've talked about, just in passing, you referred to your Aunt Louie playing the organ. That was down at the Wesleyan Church.
Mm-hmm.
Did your family go to that church?
My father and I did. Mm-hmm.
Your mother didn't?
No, my mother never did go. She'd always stay at home and cook dinner. Because we'd always have a crowd of people, but there used to be a path right down here through the field going down to the church. You could see it then, and my daddy and myself would go down there on Sunday morning to the church.
Did you go there for Sunday school?
Yeah.
Was Sunday school for children or adults or both?
I don't remember too much about the adults, but I do remember a Sunday school class for children, and that was back when it was just you had to kind of divide them off, you know, in little corners, and there weren't too many children that would go. I don't remember that. There's the Lawrences, Ed and Lawrence, and maybe Tukey Pike, Christine, Edna, and Rabbit Crawford. And I guess I can't remember too many more. There wasn't very many more than that, I don't think.
Do you remember any of the Sunday school teachers?
Oh, let me see. Some of the Newtons, seem like. Mr. Joel Newton, some of his daughters, I think. Eunice Newton. And then May Summey.
She lived real close to you, didn't she?
Yeah, they used to live right down where the Ellisons used to live, that half right down where those apartments are.
That would be what is now 101.
Yeah.
The first house actually around on Cochrane Road. Was Mr. Dillard, Bayless Dillard,
right,
connected?
Yeah, Mr. Bale Dillard, yeah. He lived in the house there next to Skeet, you know, Miss Sophie and Mr. Bale.
Do you remember anything about the church services?
Well, you know, they were Wesleyan Methodists, and they were really the hellfire preachers. I can remember Riley Garrett, the old preacher from Six Mile. Now, he could really lay it on. And all the Newtons, Joel Newton and his family, used to walk down the path. You could see them all going down there. And they was all those type that didn't think you ought to have wear enough but long sleeve dresses, high neck dresses. And they used to do a lot of shouting. I remember that. and because they'd have revivals down there.
Often?
Quite often. And you could hear that shouting and singing and shouting all the way up to Mama's house. That's one thing that stuck with me.
Was music a major part of the service? You mentioned the
organ.
Well,
just the organ and singing, just the regular old-timey songs.
Was there ever a choir, or was the church big enough?
No, I don't remember ever having a choir.
Were there hymn books?
Yeah, had hymn books. That had the good old songs that I know now that I didn't have in the church. I go to the Presbyterian church, they had those old rugged cross and all those things, you know, back then. You don't ever hear them sing that anymore.
How long did Sunday school last? About an hour or longer?
No, it didn't last that
minutes.
Long because it had to, the preaching in the Sunday school had to be over. I mean, all before the people started coming in, because see, it wasn't a very big church. Just the wooden benches, and it was very small. In fact, it wasn't very much bigger than just living room and that room out there.
So all one room.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And then later on, they did build a basement underneath. That they had Sunday school rooms in. That was after I quit going down there, but I do remember that.
How long did the church services last?
About an hour. About an hour of at in the middle of the day, but now, those of a night would go on pretty late sometime when they were having that revival.
Did you ever go to any of the revivals?
Oh, yeah.
What were they like?
Oh, shouting. Speaking, sound like they're speaking in some kind of unknown tongue. I can remember Miss Newton, Joy Newton, she was a big